This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Lesson this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and plant.'"
Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. "Then he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' He said to them, 'Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." And you will say, "Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum." And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off of the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." Here ends the reading of the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The word of God resides in who we are and what we do, more than in any particular form of technology. It is possible to preach in any given form of media, in other words. You can preach in the newspaper. You can preach on the radio. Or at least I hope you can, because Chris said that this is going out on KFIZ next week. You can preach online or on social media or just talking with a friend. You can preach in many different ways. And this is the important part, anyone can preach. Now, I know. Presbyterians are attached to their scholarly pastors, teaching them in depth about the meaning and implications of Scripture. But look at the evidence as presented in the book of Jeremiah. "Hey, you," says God. "You. Yeah, you. I decided that before you were even born, you were going to be a prophet." "Who, me?" Jeremiah responds. "I'm just a kid." He's not wrong. For all we know, Jeremiah is simply some random young man that God has plucked off of the street to bring his word to the people. Not that it really matters, according to God, because God will tell Jeremiah who to talk to and what to say. And if Jeremiah should ever run into trouble, God will be there to protect him. The power to bring God's word into the world doesn't have much to do with who we are in the sense of our accolades. You don't have to be a doctor, have a doctorate in biblical studies or be an accomplished orator. The only requirement is that God has something to say through you. God appoints Jeremiah to bring a message of the rise and fall of nations. Unfortunately, not many of us are called to do that. Mostly, what God wants to say can be found in the very familiar words of 1 Corinthians about love that is patient, love that is kind, love that is humble, content, filled with endurance and belief and hope. And mostly, God wants to say those things through you and me. You don't even need words to convey that message. Come to think of it, you don't even need words to convey any message, positive or negative. And let me tell you why here. 20 years ago, almost to the day, I started an interim ministry position at a rural church near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The Women's Guild there had for many years held a fundraiser at which they sold lemon sponge pie. It was delicious. I can still taste it. But the recipe called for something like 5 or 6 eggs per pie, which meant an awful lot of cracking eggs and separating whites and yolks. And one of the longtime members told me with a laugh that was all that she did back in the day. The guild was pretty hierarchical at the time, and until you earned their trust, they were going to put you off to the side to break some eggs. In time, you might move up to preparing the crust, or if you really got lucky and moved up the ladder, you might put the whipped cream on top of the pies. Now, talk about sending a message. These women clearly communicated that there was a pecking order in that church, and you would do well to know your place in it. Well, I marveled at the story, and in one of those probably too honest for my own good moments, I asked this woman why on earth anyone would put up with such an arrangement. And she didn't seem to take insult to my question. Instead, she explained that the guild was also where young mothers would go to get advice and support from older women. It's where they taught you how to be a mom, as she put it. And then, as you became an experienced wife and mother, you would pass your knowledge on to younger people. Today, indeed, not many young women would abide by such a system. They have other sources of information and support, and people simply don't care for hierarchies the way they used to. But again, in case I'm not making myself plain here, the point is how these women were able to communicate, for better or worse. On the one hand, they preached absolute good news in how they cared for and taught women who probably didn't have a lot of other options when it came to mentoring. On the other, they brought the bad news of their own prerogative, something that I can't imagine Paul would have been very happy with. But we do the same thing in our lives, don't we? There are some people who preach their selfishness in 1,000 ways by being thoughtless or rude or self-seeking. And there are others who preach like saints in kindness, politeness, or generosity. I once had a 93-year-old parishioner ask to meet with me as he lay dying in hospice. He was racked with guilt because he'd had to move his wife out of their assisted living facility into nursing care, where She died some months before I spoke to him. I just feel like I haven't done my part, he told me. You took care of your wife for, what, 75 years? I responded. I think you've done your fair share. That guy preached the gospel with every breath. I want to suggest to you in this message that you can do the same thing. Prophecies will come to an end, says Paul. So will the gift of speaking in tongues, so will knowledge. The kind of wisdom and insight and ability to perform that we typically look for in the good preachers aren't qualities that go the distance, according to the apostle. It's only love that lasts in the end. If you have love, you can preach. Maybe not in a pulpit or in front of a group. It might be just a kind word to a child or a reassuring touch with an anxious friend. But that is enough to bring God's word. Everything that I'm doing today is, in a sense, just icing on the cake. You have to grow into preaching. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways, Paul says. It's a bit about maturing, about learning the value of things and judging what to say when. But by far the biggest part, as this chapter of the letter makes clear, is learning to set aside your own wants and desires in order to focus on the needs of others. You go from being an infant completely dependent on its mother to being the mother on whom the babies depend and for whom you would sacrifice everything. Learning to do that is a matter of practice, like many things. You make small decisions in small ways, and over time, your abilities grow. Before you know it, you're recording yourself, giving life advice to a bunch of people you don't know very well, and hoping that they receive it well. Kidding aside, my sense of you all from the very short time that I've known you is that you are capable of growing into that kind of preaching if you haven't already. So I will leave you with another word of thanks and a gentle challenge. As you search for your new pastor, be open to different ways of preaching and hearing the gospel. We are, in fact, not out of the woods with COVID. It's entirely possible that we will see another variant like Omicron arise and have to return yet again to some form of physically distanced ministry. As well, your pastor may have some creative ideas about preaching at a coffee shop or a bar or on Facebook. Consider the possibilities carefully and be open to them. And don't rely on your pastor to do all the preaching either. It's not just Jeremiah. You too have a call to preach. You are called in your baptism to preach the love of God in word and in deed. You are capable of answering that call because God made you that way. God will show you what to say and how to say it, and to whom. And if you should ever find yourself in trouble, well, God will protect you, because our God loves us, now and forever. See, that wasn't so hard to preach, was it?
New lines of faith to trace.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.